Mayor?
Yes, ma'am.
Could you clarify something here when you're talking about you can, should not, you don't have to stand up for, you know, non-Muslim funerals that they pass? Can you clarify what is, if you...
No, I didn't say...
Yeah, can you clarify that point? And the other clarification is there a time when a Muslim can go to a non-Muslim funeral?
Okay. Was the bottle of ice a little bit? So, is it still sitting there? Okay. Have the Muslim. First, what I said that you should stand when the janazah pass by you. If you're sitting, as example, like some people, they have places which they gather and sit in front of their houses, or they sit in a coffee shop outside or anything like this. So if janazah passing by, those people who are sitting out of respect and fear for death, they will stand up. Doesn't matter if this is a Muslim janazah or kafir janazah. You understand? The second issue which you're talking about, attending a funeral of non-Muslims. If you have to, okay, like a relatives, your mother as example, or your father, grandfather, and if you did not go, this will cut the blood relationship or the ties between you and your family, okay? Or that you want to go to for support and strengthen them in time of difficulty, so you will go, but you did not attend any service, any worship service, okay? You don't go inside the church, you don't sit in the time when they say in their prayer or things like this, so you can follow the janazah. Or you can go in the time when people come in to meet and try to sympathize or to comfort the family. So what is forbidden is for you to be witnesses to so-called worship, because they invoke other than Allah and they call in on other than Allah, and we as Muslims, we are not supposed to be witness to something like this. Is it clear? Thank you.
But I thought all the funerals here, all of it is invoking, you know, the kafir funeral, you know, even unless when they bury him, the priest stands up and starts talking.
Yes, I say don't do, but you understand, you don't do this while you're driving a car, you don't do this outside the church in the street. So I say not to attend. There is a certain time, as example, when I don't know how they do it inside the church, or when they put it down. So the time that is known that they're going to pray or they say whatever they're preaching, you move away from this.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's going to be even worse if a relative going in and trying, you know, then he, you know, but I just cannot visualize a Muslim going in there and people coming to tell him I'm sorry, and then he walks out.
You can tell them I'm sorry, it's no problem. Tell them quite welcome, whatever you want to tell them. But what I'm saying, you're showing up there, as example, he stands there waiting outside the church. All the people who come and they see your face there, you don't have to be inside the church. You can be in the parking lot, everybody sees you. But this is it. The bottom line, الَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ, those who did not attend falsehood, those who did not participate in something like, you are not, you have to judge yourself. If you could not, so forget about the whole thing.
See, that's Allahu A'lam, you know, if it was a man or a woman, you know, people going to be coming and the least is going to happen, they're going to shake their hand. I mean, if he's going to say, I can't shake your hand, I can't come and say, I can't, they may be better off not even going.
They have to judge this for themselves. If they're strong enough to tell them it's against my religion, I'm not coming inside, but they show also sympathy. Otherwise, as example, they can go later on and visit this family or something like that. Basically, I'm not here, you understand, to tell the people how to do or not to do it, but if they want to participate, they can participate but not in the time of the service.
Yeah, because usually they, out the, whatever they have inside the church, they bring the body out anyway and take it to the grave. So is it permissible for you to follow them when they go into the grave?
Yes, yes. My main concern is that you didn't stand there in a time when they're preaching or doing whatever prayer or things like this. Because this what is against our religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Hadith number 465, page 199, وعن أبي إسحاق أن عبد الله بن يزيد رضي الله تعالى عنه أدخل الميت من قبل رجلي القبر وقال هذا من السنة. أخرجه أبو داود. Hadith is reported by Abu Ishaq from the authority of Abdullah ibn Yazid, and the hadith in the collection of Sunan Abu Dawood. The hadith is authentic that Abdullah ibn Yazid, may Allah be pleased with him, he brought the dead body in the grave from the side of his legs and side. Thank you. And he said that this is the sunnah. Let's imagine this is the Qibla here. The grave supposed to be where is the person you're going to lay him down. He's supposed to be in his right side facing the Qibla. Okay? So the head is here and the legs is here. So the proper place for you to bring the dead person down is to bring him from this side, okay? So you have the width and you have the length for the grave. So you're going to choose what? The width. And this is the head and this is the leg. So you bring him down from the, where is the position that the leg is going to be. So his head will come down first, okay, and go in the grave, and after this, so this is, you bring him from this side. Is this understood? Is this clear? Okay, this is the grave sitting like this facing the Qibla. And this is the width and this is the length. You bring him from the width of the grave. Because the person, he lay down facing the Qibla. So the length of the grave is longer than the width, is it? Mm-hmm. Alright. This is the head. Mm-hmm. For me to be facing the Qibla and on my right side, mm-hmm. my head have to be here, my leg have to be here. Mm-hmm. So now those people who bringing me down, they bring me from here or from here, they will bring me head first. And they go down like this. So finally my leg will be where? In the end of the grave to this side. So this what they call it, the leg of the grave. I don't know how I can explain it better there. You want to explain it to somebody?
Me? No, everybody understood that.
Except somebody.
No, he was somebody.
Fahmani, Abishabab. I thought you tried to imagine the picture. This is what I was worried if you got it.
The first time you said it.
Okay.
I didn't.
Okay.
1 + 1 is 3.
Okay. This is what I like, almost work like in principles. Not the principle of the school now, okay, don't start this now. We're talking about the principle that means 1 + 1 = 2. So when you say 1 orange + 1 orange, it's still 3 oranges.
3 apples.
3 apples, okay? Anyway. Alright. And the next hadith, number 466. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا وضعتم موتاكم في القبور فقولوا بسم الله وعلى ملة رسول الله. Okay, that when you put your dead people inside the grave, say what? In the name of Allah and according the deen or the religion or the way of worship of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, what you would say, Bismillah wa ala millati Rasulillah. And the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 467. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال كسر عظم الميت ككسره حي. Yeah. Again. عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال كسر عظم الميت ككسره حي. رواه أبو داود بإسناد على شرط مسلم وزاد ابن ماجه في حديث أم سلمة في الإثم وهذا ضعيف الزيادة ضعيفة والحديث صحيح. ذات حديث reported by عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها ذات رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم saying what the meaning is breaking the bone of a dead person is equal or similar to breaking it while he's alive. So what this hadith is telling us that we have to treat the janazah with respect. It's not because your Muslim brother or your Muslim sister dead that means it's it. They still have the same honor, the same respect, the same way as they alive. That we have to be kind and gentle to them, and we have to be so concerned about how to handle them, how to bury them, okay? And that we don't mess up with them. We don't say that these people already dead, let me sincerely understand the brain for $50. Okay, or the eye for $200 or whatever it is. And Sheikh Ibn Baz had used this hadith as a proof or evidence for utilizing the Muslim body as parts for other person. And he said that the Muslim is respected life or dead. Okay, and he said that the kafir, there is no respect for his body. If there is this need for it, it can be taken from, but not from a Muslim. Okay? Not for a Muslim. And this is a new issue, but the scholars are different about it. Is this is not something you understand that happened in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the scholars now they have to exercise their opinions and see if this can be done or not supposed to be done. Okay? But one of the people that we respect their opinion highly, which is Sheikh Ibn Baz, Hafizahullah, he said that this could not be done. You could not take a kidney, you could not take his leg, you could not take anything like this. Okay, so Rasulullah ﷺ said you break his bone dead the same way as if you break it while he's alive.
Let's say that the person just before he died, and maybe let's say his daughter needs a kidney, and he says take my kidney and give it to her. Is that okay? Just before, and then when he died he take the kidney and give it to his daughter. So I don't know if that
he does do it while he's alive.
Because you have two kidneys.
Yeah,
you can live with one. You see, like some people driving, sometimes there's no spare tire.
Yeah.
Allah knows best. It's better, I understand, to leave it for the scholars. But basically, at least for us, the way how we treat our dead people, okay? And we have to cover their private parts, that we should carry them gently, that we should try to bury them in the proper way, because to give them the respect as if they are alive.
Also, just if you see anything on that dead person, cover up your...
Exactly. Yes. Because there, sometimes, understand, when you go wash the dead people, there is certain signs will show up in their faces as a result of the haram or the bad things he used to do. You will see that his face gets, like I understand, so not swollen, but you know, like when somebody
frown.
Yeah, frown. Okay, In other people that he sees him after they die, he almost you see like a smile in their face. You see light on their face, okay? So if it happens that you see something, and this is the reason that not anybody go was the dead people, okay? That a person, a trustworthy person, so in case he see anything, he shouldn't reveal in these things. Because again, like understand, protecting the Muslim, regardless of a life or not exposing the people sin or talking about them. So we have to understand that the respect and the honor for the Muslim, regardless is alive or dead, is still there. Yes, please. The next hadith, hadith number 468. وعن أبي سعد ابن أبي وقاص رضي الله تعالى عنه قال ألحدوا لي لحدا وانصبوا علي اللبن اللبن نصبا كما صنع برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رواه مسلم. That Abu Sa'id, may Allah be pleased with him, Ibn Abi Waqqas, he said, that mean he asking them that when I die, make a lahd for me and set up undead bricks, okay, the same way been done to the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The lahd, okay, the digging, wherever you bury the dead person, this you call the whole thing called grave, okay, or qabr. The lahd is digging in the side of the grave towards the qibla, okay, niche, will be in the form like letter L. Try to give you a basic idea what's going to look like if I can. Inshallah, maybe we have to do a janazah workshop here one day, or we can watch a videotape by Sheikh Adli. He made two janazah tape, we can look to one of them. If you imagine that this is a grave, that we dig it like this, okay? This is the way how the grave, you standing here on the top. So this is the grave now, okay? This is the grave, like a U-shape. So now when you go down on the floor here, on the bottom, you will come and make something like this. You see how it's going to be? So it's going to be going in like this, okay? So this is what you call it lahd. And the dead person, you will put him on his side, inside here. I should made something, I brought it with me. Oh, thank you. Jazakallah khair. But they tie me down here, I can watch my eyes, please, okay. Thank you. I'm sorry, brother. Do you mind to come this way? This is the way you're standing here. This is the surface of your ground, okay? And this is the people standing here, okay? And this is your cars. And so we start digging down here, okay? We start digging. We go down here about 4 feet or 5 feet. Is this clear to everybody? Now, after you reach down here, as I said, this is the surface of the ground. So now after we went down here about 5 feet, you will come here, and this is the direction of the qibla. You standing here now, you start to dig here. So it's going to be look like this. So when you bring the dead person, you will lay him down here. You'll be laid down here. And after this, you're going to put your bricks here. So now when you go up out of the grave and you throw this dirt down back here, you're not throwing anything on him. You got the idea?
Yeah. Just explain that he will be long way.
Yes, he's actually laying down like this. Okay? Okay.
So the lahd that you take in is wood.
Yeah. The side.
The lahd? Okay.
Only like maybe a foot and a half or so.
The height of the lahd, okay. Can you imagine if you put yourself in a box, wooden box, laying down on your right side, okay? That you're laying down. So you're talking about 1 foot width, about 1.5 foot height, approximately, okay? The depth is maybe about 1 foot also, okay? And after this, you will come here and put the bricks in front of this person from the outside. And you close all this. Okay? So now when you throw this dirt back here, is nothing actually falling in him. So this called lahd. Okay? This called lahd.
Like a small chamber.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay? And this chamber will be in the direction of the Qibla. So the person will be laying down on his right side facing the Qibla. Okay? Inshallah we can make a detail one day about this. So here Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he asking his companions or his family that they do to him in this manner, that to do lahd and to put the break, cover the lahd with, and after this he said because this is the way that the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam been done to him, and this hadith is authentic. ولي مسلم رحمه الله نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يجسس القبر وأن يقعد عليه وأن يبنى عليه. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had forbid the grave to be plastered, or to sit on it, or to build on it. We have to remember that the purpose of the grave only to bury our dead people, and also that this grave to serve a purpose of reminder for the live people. So it's no plastering, no building, no anything. It's supposed to be some kind of a reminder about how it's going to be your end. Not that you go painting and fixing it and all these things. It's nothing but a dirt. Maximum you're going to put some, what you call crush run, or what do you call this?
Crush run?
Huh?
Gravel.
And not to be more than 1 foot from the ground.